Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we are live in Pine Richland, Pennsylvania for the Baseball and Softball Association's opening day. And boy, last year we were here for an opening day, and it was rainy, and a lot of those things were canceled. Today it's sunny. It's a bit breezy, but we welcome you into the Bob Pompeiani Show, where our number is 412-928-9370, same as the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. 928-9370, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money. For you, our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your bag, not your wallet. Also, number one Cochran. Ride in style and go one better with number one Cochran. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. And Ironland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Every night of the week. KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. The wind is certainly going. We have a lot of kids. 1,300 kids, believe it or not, are here for this PRBS Association, Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association. There are 1,300 kids here today, and I know that O'Neill Cruz and his kids are up here playing in this opening day, and, you know, these kids are excited about baseball, ages 3 through 18, boys and girls. They're all here enjoying the sunny day and enjoying being outside and hopefully working on their baseball skills. So we want to talk sports with you at 412-928-9370. Pirates will be playing later today, as you know, against the Red Sox. And last night they took one on the chin as Quinn Priester was not very good in his opening night after a recall. He got a lot of ground ball outs, but he also gave up 3 home runs, 2 in the first inning, and that was his night, basically 4-plus innings. After that, Roansy Contreras came on and gave up a home run as well. And, you know, the bottom line here is that if you don't get any offense, every pitching outing you get is going to not work up to where it needs to be. And their offense has just not got a click in at all. They have guys who you would expect to hit who are not hitting. I realize it's early. I say that until a certain amount of time when I say it's not early anymore. But right now it is early. They got to get it figured out. They started well. Got a lot of extra base hits. They got a lot of runs, and all of a sudden, bats have completely cooled off. And, honestly, they got to put the ball in play more. A guy like O'Neill Cruz, he's a guy who, if he puts it in play with his speed and his ability to do stuff on the base paths, can be a huge asset, even if he's not hitting home runs. And I know people get clamored with this 30-30, 40-40 stuff, but before that happens, you got to really become a good, reliable hitter, and he's struggling in that department right now. I expect that to change. Ke'Bryan Hayes has not hit a home run so far in the first 20 games of the season, as the Pirates, after starting 9-2, are now 11-9. So things have got to change that way. They have to get on base. They have to drive in some runs. We'll see if they can do it today. Game 2 of this series against the Red Sox at 4:05. And Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show begins at 3 o'clock right here on 93.7 The Fan. This is also the first day of hockey playoffs, and it's sad in many respects that once again the Penguins have fallen short. There are a lot of reasons for that. You can look at the power play, as I often do, with this group of people, and I would suspect that they need to get better on the power play, and if you can't do that, you're never going to win. That's a big advantage when you have 4 Hall of Famers on your team, and they haven't been able to do it all season long. That was one of the problems. Inconsistent goaltending at the middle part of the season, even though I thought overall it was okay. But the reaction of the team once Jake Guentzel was traded was not very good either, as they went, I think, 2-7-1 in those 10 games that followed. And little things like that make a big difference. We cite them as they happen, knowing that blown leads in the third period will come back to haunt you, and that you have an opportunity to build up a little separation with other teams. And it just did not happen for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And as a result, they missed by just, 1 point in the standings, basically, and they could have changed things around, but that did not happen. So they're out. That means New York Islanders, third in their division. They take on Carolina, first game today. That'll be at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and that is the first game of these NHL playoffs. And then later tonight, it's Toronto-Boston, and that should be a very good series for sure. Tomorrow, then, a whole bunch of other series begin. Tampa Bay and Florida, the Battle of Florida right there, and those two teams are good teams. The Florida Panthers have a lot. And they made on a run last year. I expect they're going to be a tough out this year. The Capitals and Rangers, I would expect the Rangers to win that in short order. Washington had the worst goal differential of any team in the NHL this year and somehow got in, mostly because teams around them just gave up too much. And, you know, again, a team like the Penguins, you got to when you have leads in the third period, you got to put it away. They got to play differently. They have to manage games differently. It did not happen, and they end up paying the price for it. And then tomorrow night, it's Colorado-Winnipeg in game one of their series. And that'll be an interesting series. Nashville-Vancouver play at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Jim Rutherford, Rick Tocchet, and his Canucks are expected to do some damage here. We'll see. He had a very nice regular season. And now they're expected to take the next step in these NHL playoffs. 412-928-9370 is the number. And we're also getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which begins next Thursday night. We have a couple of specials coming your way on KDK-TV. One of them will be a 50th look back, 50-year anniversary of the 1974 draft, one that produced five Hall of Famers. That'll never happen again. I'm fairly sure of that, that you would get, especially now today in seven rounds, how are you going to get five Hall of Famers? They had more rounds back then, but still, one of them was undrafted in Donnie Schell. We have a special coming up this week on KDK, so stay tuned for that. We also will have a draft special on Saturday night, wrapping up what we see. And I know a lot of people have their ideas of what the Steelers need in this draft. Call and let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. As we get going here today from the PRBC Association opening day for baseball and softball here in Pine Richland. A lot of kids here, as I said, 1,300 of them. And it's good to see that many people interested in baseball, because there's a lot of things that dominate kids' interest these days. And baseball is one of those sports that it doesn't take all that much to get involved in. You can practice it a lot, get better fairly quickly, I think, if you have the right coaches around you. And in all of these teams up here, they got some really good coaches who take their jobs here very seriously. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Pirates, you know, one of the things I got to see more of is people like not only Cruz, but Hayes, when you talk about Henry Davis, I've said here for the first couple of weeks that he's got his hands full with working as a catcher on a regular basis because of the injury to Andy Rodriguez. Grandal got injured, although he's back on a rehab. They brought in a guy who's a pretty good player, second overall, Joey Bart. I think eventually, if things don't work out and there's no problem at times sending guys back to the minors and working on their issues, Henry Davis has got to hit better. He's got to put the ball in play. He's got to hit for power. He's not doing any of that right now. And when you combine that with the numbers of Cruz and Hayes and even some of the power numbers that you see, you expect more from Rowdy Tellez. That's why they brought him here, to deliver those kinds of things. It just has not happened. You're going against better pitching. You're going against better teams, but you got to respond to it. The way they started at 9-2 gave false hope, I think, this moment. It's now 11-9 in Major League Baseball. Once again, Skeens was terrific down, and you heard some of the interview yesterday with Pony and Muller. He was on with them, and he's a very articulate young man. He knows what he's trying to do. I think he seems to be a sponge for learning, but he's been unhittable down in four starts down in AAA. With is, when does he move up here? He's extra year that you don't have to worry about one extra year of control. That's okay for now. Now it's just a matter of building him up and being here. And I know everybody's cautious with these guys. When you throw 100 miles an hour, and he's had 74 pitches over 100 miles an hour, that's a lot. Of only one guy has over 17. So that's a huge disparity. And Jared Jones is a guy who can do it as well. So, these are big investments for the Pirates. I get it. But at some point, and I would imagine two outings from now, he's going to be up here. He has to be. They need him now, too. And they need another starter the way things are going. They've had injuries. They've had other things. But Skeens is blowing people away. He said the other day that he was not happy with his pitch count in 3 1/3, 65 pitches. I get that. But when you're a strikeout pitcher, I think naturally you're going to throw more pitches as well. And he struck out 8 in that game. And so far in 12 2/3 strikeouts, which is remarkable. He struck out 8 of the 11 guys he faced the other day. He gets here. They certainly need him to be here, and they need him to be what they expect him to be. But this is his first full season away from college. And you got to remember that, too. I think they have a plan in place. I respect that, because I think they want to make sure that when he's up here, he can last for the rest of the regular season. So, what do you think about that? When would you bring him up? 412-928-9370. Call, air your opinions right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also, last night, the NBA play-in game. Two of them to find out who would be the eighth seeds. Miami beat Chicago. They get the right to take on Boston. Miami's a team that you got to watch out for, even though Jimmy Butler's going to be out for a couple of weeks, it looks like. They got some players on that team, and Eric Spoelstra seems to get the best out of his team at this time of the year. Boston will be heavily favored, and they are by far the best team in basketball this year, regular season-wise. But I think they're beatable. I do. I think they're a team that could be had. Miami may have the right recipe for that. And in the West, as many times as I thought Sacramento was going to finally beat New Orleans, just doesn't happen. Six times this year now. They're 0-6, and they didn't even have Zion Williamson, which is surprising to me. So now the Pelicans go up against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is the team I've been riding all year. I love that young combination they have with Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those two guys together are really where they work well. They got some depth beyond that. They got some outside shooting. They got a lot. And for my money, the MVP of the league, even though I think Doncic will probably get it this year, it has to be Gilgeous-Alexander. I really believe that without him, there's nobody more valuable to his team than him. There are a lot of guys you can bring up in this conversation. I've been following, and sorry if I'm boring you NBA non-fans, but Victor Wembanyama is a guy that came into this league as a rookie with San Antonio, number one overall pick, 257 blocks on the year. Now, I want to put that in perspective for you. If you look at, and he's 7'5", so he should block shots, but he's been really good. He's a three-point shooter. He could do a lot of other things as well. They're going to be really good in time, I think, with him being what he is. But if you look at the top shot blockers in the NBA, name one for me, and I'll tell you that their two-year totals are less than what Wembanyama has put up in 1 year. So he's that dominant on the defensive side, and he's very good on the offensive side as well. So a lot of interesting stuff going on there. Those playoffs also begin this weekend. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. We'll begin with Bill in Baldwin. Hello, Bill. How are you today?
Pretty good. I'm going to stay along that topic here. Name a series in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the NBA playoffs that you're going to sit down and watch every game for in this first round.
Well, I like it all, so I watch a lot of games. I'm very interested to see, the Battle of Florida, Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers. I think those are two high-power teams. I love the fact that Florida has some grit to their game. I think Tampa's getting older, getting up there in years, and I'm not so sure if they have enough to beat that team. That's one I'm certainly going to watch. I think, if you look at some of these other ones, I think Colorado-Winnipeg could be a good series. I'm not so sure that Winnipeg is capable of beating them, but I think they could give them everything that they can handle. The other one is Vegas-Dallas. Vegas is a team that has a lot of talent, but Dallas has been one of the better teams all season long. I think their goaltender, Ottinger, has been unbelievable. So I look for that to be a great series in hockey.
So Winnipeg outscored Colorado 17-4, 3-0 against them this season, and is an underdog in the series. That's pretty wild.
Well, that's only because of Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon and the high power they have. But you're right, Winnipeg has a way of beating them. I think they beat them 7-0 the last time they played them.
They did, about 2 weeks ago.
I realize it was probably an insignificant game. Yeah, but it
really was. It was for home ice in this series.
The recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the game was for home ice in this series.
As far as the NBA, let me ask you what you think of these series. The Lakers and Nuggets strikes me as one I'm really interested in seeing. The Lakers got in because of their play-in tournament, but they've been playing very well. And when you got the guys they have, like LeBron James, who you've got to admire what he's been able to do at his age, and Anthony Davis is healthy, that's a tough matchup, although I do expect Denver to win it.
Steamrolled them last year, and I know Davis wasn't really himself last year in that series, but that one isn't that compelling to me, to be honest. The Cavs have won nothing, and they lost on purpose last week of the season to dictate not playing Philadelphia. I think that's a bad look going into the playoffs. I got a bad feeling about their series with Orlando. I think that's going to be an interesting series.
I think Orlando's a better team than people think, too. If you watch them play,
yeah,
they're capable of doing some. But Cleveland should win that series. If they wouldn't, I'd be very disappointed.
I don't like how they went into the playoffs. I don't know why everybody's afraid of Philadelphia. Embiid, it obviously makes a difference, but his conditioning probably isn't up to snuff. And I think in a seven-game series, he'll probably run out of gas. I mean, he does most years anyway. That's why they haven't really gone to the finals with the team that they have. And I expect that the Knicks are going to dispatch of them in 5 or 6 games pretty easily.
Well, they don't have Julius Randle, but they do have Bill a guy who should be considered for MVP, Jalen Brunson. He's been terrific.
They got two guys that played at Villanova.
Got rid of him in the first place.
They got two guys that played at Villanova that are going to love going back to Philadelphia and beating that team, I think. Because they have DeVincenzo,
yeah,
too.
No, I agree, and thank you for the call. I'm glad you have NBA interest because it is fun. This time of the year is a fun time for me. It's one of the better times of the year, actually, when I get to watch, and we all do, some of these great matchups that I, you know, best of seven, anything can happen. And I've seen it over and over, especially in hockey, where eight meets one. You never know how these series are going to work. And Winnipeg, Colorado is a very interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out, Bill, because, you know, that can certainly be the situation that you may see an upset in that series. I wouldn't expect it, but you never know. Let's go out to Dan in the car. Dan joins us right here on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hello, Bob. Hey, I went to the game last night, and my perception a lot of time of O'Neal Cruz is that he's lazy. There was a play last night. It was a play up the middle. I don't know if they would have had to play at second, but he didn't even go to second base. And then a lot of times, I know he has a great arm, but sometimes I just feel like he doesn't throw the ball like the way he should. Maybe because he's so big, but, you know, I watched the kid for Cincinnati. It's like the same, like, look of him, and he's killing the ball. He looks great. So far, Cruz looks pretty much, like, overmatched. When he gets a curveball. I know it's early, and he has all the potential, but the guy just – I just don't like the way he looks when he plays.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't use the word lazy. I just think he's different type of build, and because of it, it's hard to look at him the same way as someone who's smaller and has shorter strides. He just has big strides. It may look to you like he's not, but he covers a lot of ground. I think he has to just understand the pitch count is significant, how batters react to being down in counts. He has to change the way he thinks. I also think he's taken too many good pitches. You know, it's really difficult in this league when you get – one that's in the middle of the zone, you gotta make an offer. He needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I think Derek Shelton talked about that the other day. And until that happens, he's going to be down in counts, and then you're at the pitcher's disposal, and that's never a good situation, especially for basically a second-year player.
And then Henry Davis, you know, again, all the just waiting for him, but I don't know. He doesn't seem to be getting any better. And, you know, how long do they – did they wait that he's going to hit with, you know, with Grandal coming back and with, the guy they got from San Francisco? There's two catchers that
Joey Bart
may be playing better than him.
Yeah, I think if this hitting problem continues, again, there's no shame in going down and working on your problems in minors. A lot of guys have done it who are big time names in the game. So he's got to start hitting, and if not, you can't keep throwing him out there every single day. If this position's getting healthier. And again, I think Joey Bart deserves to play a little bit because of what he's been able to do in limited times here. But they're trying to get him, Henry Davis, back on track. And if it requires going to the minors, and so be it, he has to start hitting. It's a big part of what they have invested in him, the bat, not so much even the glove or behind the plate. It's good he's doing that now. I wanted to see it. And I think he looks okay back there, but it's the bat that is the attraction. All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. One more before we go to break, and that would be the counselor in the car. Counselor, how are you?
Hey, fine. Well, getting over a bad cold, but I'm going to finish the antibiotic. Anyway, regarding the Pirates, I'm just repeating, but O'Neal Cruz is looking at too many pitches. He's being too patient. And there's pitches that he could hit that he's letting go, and they end up strikes, and then he is down in the count, and then he's got a, you know, he's at a disadvantage. The other thing is, I think the Pirates' defense needs to be better, too. There's a lot of plays. I understand some of them was going to be a tough play, but they've got to be made because you don't have the extra leeway, since you're not hitting that well anyway, to not make those plays and be in games, you know?
You know, he has got to be more aggressive at the plate. He has got to be able to decipher a pitch that's going to be hung in the strike zone and one that isn't. don't swing at the one that's in the ground. He's been doing that, or chasing those inside pitches that drop out of the strike zone versus taking pitches that I think are better than that. He knows what he has to work on, and he has to get better at it. It's that simple. So this team cannot function by scoring one or two runs a night. It just does not happen, and no team will win on a consistent basis, and that's what they didn't get their run last night until the ninth inning. So it's got to be better than that. But, Counselor, thanks. I appreciate it. Good. Hope your cold gets better. We got to go to a break here. We got Bob in Mount Lebanon coming up. Bob, hang on. We'll get to you. We are live today. Pine Richland. This is a great baseball and softball community up here. It's the PRBS, Pine Richland Baseball Softball Association. It's opening day, and 1,300 kids are here in all these different fields. Unlike last year when it rained, it got rained out. This is a much more beautiful day, sunny, a little windy, as we can attest, because our the fan tent blew away here. So it's like the Wizard of Oz. It just keeps moving all over the place. But we're here until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370. Call 412-928-9370. I'm Bob Pompiani. We'll continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are back live at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day here in Pine Richland. 1,300 kids, Richland Community Park here, and they're all here. Beautiful day to get out. A little windy, but so be it. It's better than last year when they were completely rained out. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I want to remind you, our fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. I told you about the text line. You can hit it up anytime. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show is brought to you by Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with expressway cochran.com. Number One Cochran is the number one place to go if you're looking for a new car. Also, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting. Need a new roof? They are the best. Get them at irelandcontracting.com. Also, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Later in the hour, we'll have the weather, which is going to be what you see. Chilly, windy, temperature not hitting 60, but that'll come up a little later in the broadcast. In the meantime, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. And we're going to go back to that and talk to Bobby the Legend, who is on the air right now. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Pomp, thanks for taking my call. Sure. You know what, since you were talking a little bit about the NBA, you know, we got to root and holler for Pittsburgh's own TJ McConnell. Give him a quick shout out. I don't know if you've been checking out his stats, but the last...
He should be the sixth man of the year. He should be the sixth man of the year in the NBA.
The last 2 months, his stats are incredible, and you know him coming off the bench is fantastic. And they might have a shot because the Greek Freak's hurt. So,
you're right about Antetokounmpo not being there is a major factor for now. So I do think they have the outside shooting to be able to deal with it. And I think TJ, you know, I ran into his aunt the other day, and it's amazing how he's changed. I mean, not just as a competitor from his days when he was at Duquesne University and moved on to Arizona, whatever, his whole personality has really flourished in the NBA. His hairstyle's better. I think his personality's better. He's a gamer. He's a talker. He never used to talk like that, you know. He's full confidence mode right now, and it shows when he comes off the bench.
And I, as you mentioned, the Orlando team, the kid from Duke's lighting it up, and he's a natural talent, a star in the NBA right now. So, hats off to the NBA. It's worth watching.
Yeah, and I do. We talked about this before. I'd like to hear what a lot of people say at 412-928-9370 about their play-in game. I think it would be fun to have that in the NHL. I really do. Now, you're always going to have critics, and some will say, well, why play a regular season? It diminishes your regular season if you're going to have a one-game shootout. All it does is create more interest, I think, and money. And let's not fool each other here. Money is the reason the NBA went to this. It's major ratings for four different, games, and people are into it. Now, if you're one of those teams who fall in the 7, 8, 9, 10 category, try to avoid it. So bottom line is I think it's good for business. I think the NHL can use anything that's good for their business, and I would like to see that at least considered as a future change. Speaking of changes, thanks, Bobby, for the call. The NCAA, I don't know if you guys saw this, approved a 2-minute warning and helmet communication for 2024. Now, what they're trying to do is do what the NFL does, replicate that, and get these guys ready for it. The other thing that I really love is the fact they're going to try to speed up the game by not stopping the clock on every first down. This, in the final 2 minutes, will be the same. They'll stop it after first downs, but not during the regular course of the game. Because when you think about it, college football takes 4 hours plus sometimes to play a 60-minute game. That should not, it should not take 4 hours to play a 60-minute game. So they're going to also have the communication, just like the pros do with a green dot. Quarterbacks will be able to hear instead of running to the sideline and try to figure out what's coming up next in the play. I think this is all good, and it was approved, and honestly, it was much needed for college football. That'll take starting next year. Back to the lines we go. O'Hara Township, we got Rob. Rob's on the line right now. Hey, Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Bob. I got some thoughts on the Penguins. I wanted to see where you come down on it. This is a team that's in transition with the big three. And I agree with you when you said earlier in the week that they should keep Sullivan. One of the things I find amazing, when the team tanked when they traded Getzel for those 10 games, nobody pointed at Crosby, who's the team captain, who should have been correcting that in the locker room. And my other thought is, Carlson isn't a defenseman. They need to move him up the center or the right wing for this coming season. And if he won't do it, then they need to ship him to Siberia, because they can't win with him turning the puck over like that and nobody being back.
So well, Rob, I thought what you said earlier with that 1-7-2 swoon right around the trade deadline, if you're going to compliment the team for being, you know, proud of the group, they're mature, they handled it down, then you also have to be critical of that stretch. That was a terrible stretch, and it basically cost them the playoffs. They blew games in there. There were third-period leads gone. And as far as Erik Karlsson, I don't think there's any shot of them moving him. So what I saw the last 3 weeks with him was a better Erik Karlsson. He needs to bottle that and do it all season long. He's too talented not to. The thing with him is, you're right, he's the defenseman by position, but he's really more than that, sometimes less than that. When you win the Norris Trophy as the defenseman of the year or the best defenseman, it's because of his offense. He had 101 points last year. This year, 40 fewer points, and he was, still a very positive player at times. But if you're going to be the quarterback of the power play, you've got to do better than what they've done. I would have removed him from that. I'd still put Letang back there over him. They got to make adjustments too, and he has to realize that. But I think year two for him here will be better, as I do with Ryan Graves. I think Robert has to be. If it's not better with Ryan Graves, they've got some problems back there, and they have too much of the same on their blue line, you know? I agree with that assessment. I think they need to get bigger, stronger, more defensive-minded, which is why I liked St. Ivany and Ryan Chey the way they played. I think when you play that way, like Pettersson does, you don't have to have a whole bunch of those guys, but you need some of those guys. You can't have everyone pinching at the wrong times of the game.
I agree. I mean, I just don't understand what, when everybody criticizes Dubas and Sullivan, that, Crosby didn't get any of that criticism. He's the captain of the team. He should have been able to turn the tables around when they hit that swoon.
Well, when you're the captain, there are a lot of responsibilities. And thanks, Rob, for the call from O'Hara Township. I agree with that. But it was just a whole malaise there. And again, as tight as this was going to be, you knew that every point was precious. They all knew that. Too many times they gave points away. And when if you had told me at the beginning of the season they have one of the worst power plays in the NHL and also one of the worst records in overtime, I would have laughed, because that's what they're built to win for. That's why you have elite talent. 412-928-9370. John in Mount Washington joins us right now. John, what's going on?
Yeah, Bob, I'm like sitting there, got all this Henry Davis talk, and I'm sitting there listening to you as usual on Saturday, and he's got to get it going. I agree, hold his fire. He reminds me, I've been around a while like you, he reminds me of Dale Murphy, remember him?
Oh, yeah, number three for the Atlanta Braves, sure.
Drafted as a catcher in mid-70s, I remember. I think for 2 years he couldn't handle it back there, and then they moved him to first, and he led the league in errors, but he got out in the outfield, he got settled in that two years, remember?
Yeah, if he can turn out to be Dale Murphy, I'll be happy with that.
Put him out in the outfield if he, again, I thought of Murphy right away, Bob.
Well, I mean, at this point, there's – yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate it. At this point, there's no – I mean, they're playing Taylor, Reynolds, and Sawinski largely out there. Sawinski's another guy. I didn't mention him, but he needs to get going more consistently as well. He's come – you know, he's a home run hitter, but, again, you got to be more – this whole team needs to put the ball in play more. They strike out too much. They swing at too many pitches. All of that needs to change. You got to manufacture runs sometimes. You're not going to always hit long ball. They don't have a lot of power to begin with. So it has to take place that way. We're due for a break. Hey, George in Pittsburgh, hang on. Bill in Uniontown, you'll be coming up. We're live today at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. It's a beautiful day here. 1,300 kids here, all sorts of kids, girls, boys, learning their craft here with baseball and softball. It's good to see. We'll be here until 1 o'clock. Again, call George and Bill. You'll be up next, 412-928-9370. Bob Pompiani with you right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back live. Once again, we're at the PRBC. That stands for Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association right here. And what a beautiful day it is. It's windy. We will attest to that. Tom and I and Matthew here watching everything blow away, including our entire set. But we're battling through. 1,300 kids are here, ages 3 to 18. They have six fields. They'll be occupied all day long. And we're talking sports with you until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go out to George in Pittsburgh, who's been waiting on the line. What's up, George?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm here. Got a question about Paul Skye. Why don't they bring him up as a long receiver, especially if they would pitch with Jones, 4 innings each? They could stretch him out as long as they wanted, but they'd at least be getting the major league experience without, you know, doing their 9-inning thing. And my second thing is, what happened when Bob's friends, Brian Law and Steve Blass come out? Did they pitch them 3 innings and sit them down after three? Really curious.
George, that's a different time, a different place, and a different strategy. And I get it. We were just talking up here with some of the guys at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association about how it used to be. If you went out and told Bob Gibson you're coming out of the game after 58 pitches, he'd probably hit you if you were the manager. That wasn't going to happen. But things have changed. The spin factor, the arm strain, you know, I'd have to talk to some experts on this. Has it changed that dramatically? Those guys pitched 9-10 innings. They didn't miss starts. Their pitch counts weren't even talked about. It was just, do you feel good? Sure, let's go. And if you don't, okay, we won't. But now everything is under microscopic analysis, and I guess most of it is because of the money they have invested in all of these guys. They're not going to want to blow out anyone's arm. And again, I need a scientific I want to talk to people who do this. Are the arm injuries, which seem to be chronic right now with all these guys, are they happening more or less? And if so, why? Is it strictly the rotation? Maybe they're starting the guys way too young. You know, they're in high school. Like we're here at the Softball and Baseball Association today. Maybe these people are starting way too young and strain on their arms that results in, stress, wear and tear, and eventually, Tommy John surgery. I don't know, but it is changed. I got to believe more than anything, George, it is money. It is an investment. They're not going to want to put guys at risk unnecessarily, especially to start their career.
Well, if I remember correctly, Brian Law has the record for number of innings pitched straight. And I don't know if you heard my first question, but why don't they bring up Skye and pitch him with Jones, and then pitch 3 or 4 innings?
They're not going to do that. I think Paul Skeens will be up here before you know it, though. I do. I think, they've already met the requirements to keep him for another year in the organization. So that's over and done with. They need to – they're going to try. He has 65 pitches. I would bet for you that early in May he will be recalled and he will start. He needs to start. They need him. But more than that, they need better hitting. Their hitting stinks right now, George. And when you're a major league team scoring one run a game, I don't care who's on the mound, you're not going to win.
Well, thank you, my friend. That's what I
got. All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 on this beautiful day here. Let's go out to Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, welcome to the Bob Pompiani Show. How are you?
Pretty good. I'd like to know why the Pirates are on a 4-game losing streak. Couldn't they just shuffle their lineup around like?
Well, they're on a 4-game losing streak because they can't hit the baseball, number one. They're stranding too many runners, number two. And when you do that, you put an extra strain on your pitchers. You know, they got to be perfect almost. and they haven't been perfect. So it's a combination of everything. It's not unlike what a lot of teams will go through. I don't care how good or bad you are. You know, I looked at the Houston Astros this year. You know, they're off to a 6-14 start. 6-14. Think about that. That's a team that has World Series aspirations. They're not hitting the ball. Some of their best hitters are struggling, and they're 6-14. So that's going to change. It's just that it happens at the beginning of the season, which garners more attention, as it does here in Pittsburgh. When you're 9-2, it's not an indication that you're that sort of baseball team for the whole year. You got off to a good start. Try to minimize the valleys, and right now this is a pretty good valley they're in.
Okay.
All right, Bill, thank you. Appreciate it.
Call.
You're welcome. Kennedy Township is our next destination. Tim is on the line. Hello, Tim. What's going on today?
Bob, it's a frustrated Penguin fan. May I use your airwaves to vent a bit?
Sure. That's what this is for. It could be helpful to you, so you get it out of your system and your blood pressure reduces.
Thank you. You're doing your caller a service. You know, Eller came out and said that the Penguins threw away that 1-7-2 stretch, 10 games, about 12% of the season, because they had the boo-boo face over their buddy Jake getting traded. And, you know, that's unprofessional behavior for professional athletes to go into the tank for that long of a time because of a trade. You know, in 92, they traded away Recchi and Coffey and went out and won the Cup. So
exactly.
These guys take the opposite tack. They turn into, well, babies and flush the season. And then it comes to the closeout time, and what's got me angry is Sullivan comes out in his closing press conference, Bob, and instead of calling out the team for that lack of professionalism, he passed them on the back and saying, well, I like the way they recovered from, what did he call it, the situation. No, what you're congratulating the arsonist for helping to put out the fire. And it really is an insight as to how the team is managed, Bob. When you've got the players admitting that they flushed the season because they had a boo-boo face over trading Gensel, and instead of calling them out, you're patting them on the back. I thought that was an insight as to why things aren't able to be changed there, because the coach, instead of calling them out, is happy to pat them on the back when they're not quite as bad as they were before.
Yeah, I totally agree, Tim. Yeah, you should be, and it's unacceptable, and you're right. And so what? It's a business. You know, I think sometimes the people in charge become too immersed with the talent that they have. Yeah, they're Hall of Famers. Yeah, we want to keep them around. Yes, we really, you know, it is a business. You have to make decisions that are hardcore, and as players you should know that. You know, I've said for a long time, Tim, I'm not a big fan at all of having no trade clauses. When that got into the lexicon, I hate it, because, listen, if you're going to make what you make, millions of dollars, I have the right to move you when I want. And because this now doesn't exist, they're stuck a little bit in this situation. And they're all great players, don't get me wrong. Crosby showed me he can still play for another whatever. He'll sign, and he should, to stay here if he wants to. But, you know, everybody else, I would reserve that to one iconic player. I wouldn't give everyone.
I agree.
You know, you look at their team, they got all these guys, you can't move them, or partial trades. They decide where you can go. You can mess up on if you're a GM, your livelihood becomes in jeopardy because you are handcuffed. So I don't like it. I don't like the response that I saw there. And you're right. Mike Sullivan did not need to congratulate them on how they ended this season. What he did need to do is be critical of them when they were throwing points away. And as much as I understand, and I said this week that I'm not in favor of firing Mike Sullivan, I do think there have to be tweaks on their coaching staff. But what I do like to see once in a while is a public response from the coach, any coach, when things are not going well. I want to see a little anger. If you're really upset with him, you know, let him know through the media.
Exactly.
And I'm not telling you, Tim, to go full tort on me, full Tortorella. You know, he gets a little bit out of control there. But what I'm saying is, every now and then, this team needs a little awakening. You know, this is not a country club. Just because you're here on a long-term contract and we can't trade you doesn't mean you get to decide who stays and who goes. Jake Gensel
exactly.
Needed to be traded because they couldn't come up to a term. He didn't want to accept the money they wanted, so be it. You move on, and hopefully the trade they have, Bunting's a good player. I hope these other guys work too. But you can't have it both ways. If you want all these guys to hang around, then, you know, at some point, if it doesn't work, they got to be moved. So that's it frustrates me that this no-trade clause ever existed in sports. I think it's terrible.
Well, Well, the other thing, too, Bob, is there's the other aspect of this, too. You know, the Penguins just told us that they threw away 12% of the season, and the season ticket invoices came out last month. Am I going to get a 12% discount because they threw away 12% of the season because they were in a bad mood?
No.
And,
no,
and the other thing
not.
About these no-trade clauses, they're not going to waive them. Can you understand why? Can you blame them? You're going to be able to throw away 12% of your season, and a coach is going to pat you on the back. I wouldn't throw away that no-trade clause either. I'd be happy to stay here. This place is great.
Exactly. And this is what happens, though, when you get a whole bunch of guys that want to keep together. And, again, I understand it because it is a sport that needs its gate, and the Penguins need to sell tickets. And you can sell it with people like Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and even Carlson, even though he's been here for only one year. My point is, the bottom line is you're still trying to win every year. And if that's your
yep.
goal, you make it very much more difficult on yourself when you're stuck with certain contracts that you cannot get rid of. And
absolutely. And real quick, Bob,
I just think that things have gotten too far in favor of the players.
Absolutely.
And I think they deserve the money they get. Don't get me wrong. There's money to be made, and they should. But you shouldn't give them everything else so that your job is almost impossible to pull off.
Should Sullivan's seat be a little hot at the start of the season, Bob?
Probably, yes. I mean, I think, you know, next year's a big year. If they're true to their word that they want to try to compete for a Stanley Cup, 2 years in a row haven't made it, you know, we'll see. But right now I'm not, I still really respect him as a head coach. I think he knows a lot about what goes on with this team. I think the roster is challenged, again, in part because of what I said to you, Tim. But, you know, this is more roster compilation to me than it is anything else. And the fact, and don't forget this, by trying to win as much as they did back in 16, 17, even beyond that, they gave up some draft picks. They don't have a lot of answers in their system. And this is the price of mortgaging futures. It happens. And if you want to win, you want to win championships, you have to understand there is a time when it goes the other way. And this is that time.
Bob, thank you. My blood pressure's down. And this is season ticket holder. Thanks you because it'll be a better afternoon.
Tim, Dr. Bob, appreciate your business. The check will be in the mail. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have another hour to go. And Joel Nelson's back. He'll have an update. All right, welcome back. It's hour number two today. We're in Pine Richland. It's the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. 1,300 kids strong here. Pirate Parrot is here. And Pirate Parrot just made a pitch to one of O'Neill Cruz's sons, even though he didn't know it was O'Neill Cruz's son. So there you go. That's a little bit of the karma. Maybe it's going to be an O'Neill Cruz day today at 412-928-9370. Got a lot of tweets in here. One of them is from Jason in Slippery Rock. He says, hey, KD Pomp, your callers today suggest Western PA actually likes the NBA. We do. Well, I'm glad. If you want to talk about it, continue to call. I'd love to talk about some of these matchups because I think it's very interesting, some of the talent levels. You're seeing a lot of guys who play in college and other places come there and play, and it's an up-tempo kind of game. A lot of people think it's not defense. It is. There's a lot of good defense being played. It's just they rush shots. I mean, it's all about offense and, you know, quick reaction, transition game, that sort of thing. So, as I said earlier, I love this time of the year when you have hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs as well. Diane Carney on Twitter at KD Pomp says, for next year, will Coach Sullivan coach the Pens to play differently? Can he? Will any of these assistant coaches be fired? I've watched the New York Rangers and Islanders last week. They laid down, cheering the Caps all the way. Well, listen, as far as Sullivan is concerned, when you have offensive talent, you know what the strength is. I get some of that. But what has to change is when they play with a lead in the third period, you cannot play the same way. To me, that's one of the things that you can do is say, no, we're going to play a defensive brand of hockey here to protect the lead. And if you don't, what happens to you is you give up odd man breaks. And, boy, did we see so many of those. I mean, I saw things this year I thought I'd never see. That is operating on a 5-on-3, 2-man advantage, and the other team scores a shorthanded goal. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And then scoring into your own net, little things that really shouldn't happen. But more than anything, it's pinching and you know, assessing situations differently. It's on the players, too. You have to know that you cannot play the same way late in games when you have a lead. Simple to me. And instruct them to do that. And if they don't, you know, then at some point you got to take matters into your own hands and limit playing time. I don't care how talented they are. At some point you have to do something to make the point across. And when they have those situations arise, they got to put games away. They let too many escape, and in a battle the way they battled all season, you know, 1 or 2 points will decide whether or not you're in or not. All right, back to the phone lines we go. We have Hammer in Port View. Hammer time right now on 93.7
The
Fan.
Yeah, hey, Bob, how you doing? I don't know if you remember me. This was years back, but you and I met at Luke Ravenstahl's election celebration at a bar a few years ago. It was a great time meeting you there. But getting on to sports here, I wanted to ask a question. I understand the no-trade clause in hockey, but is there any rules against demoting them to the minor league affiliate?
Well, I think you can do that, but you still pay them the same. And what's the point of going down there? I mean, I'm talking about elite players. They don't need that.
I'm just like some kind of disciplinary action for bad, like the one guy was saying about them, like tanking because they were upset about trading Gensel.
Well, I mean, you could do whatever you have to do. It has nothing to do with a no trade clause, though. You know, if you can limit playing time. I think that's the most effective way if you're a head coach. And if you're not going to do what we want you to do, then your playing time will be taken away. That's about the only thing they can do as head coaches with some of these guys. You know.
Gotcha. Like I said, that was just my other suggestion. But I thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Hammer. Appreciate it. Nice seeing you again. Let's go out to Bill in the South Side or South Fayette area, actually. Bill, what's going on? How are you today?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Oh, it's a sunny day. The wind has subsided up here, which is good.
It is. It is. Out running some errands. Typical spring, summer day. So I agree with a lot of what you're saying about the late leads getting blown and so forth. But I think the number one reason they didn't make the playoffs and really should have made the playoffs by a significant margin is the power play. They had the second worst power play in the league.
Totally agree.
And they gave up.
Yep.
They gave up 12 shorthanded goals. Power plays are supposed to be momentum and difference makers. And, you know, I actually cringed when they would get power plays because they would lose momentum more often than they would get momentum. And secondly, defensive guys like Graves and Carlson and before him, those guys, Marino and Mata, all regressed. They didn't get any better. And the guy that owns both of those things is Todd Reardon. And, you know, I agree on keeping Sullivan, but I just think Todd Reardon's got to go.
Well, I think they are going to make changes to their staff. They have to, I think, based on what's gone on. But you're right about the power play. It would be the number one reason why you look back at the autopsy report that comes in from the coroner, why they didn't make it. It's because of that more than anything. If you operate, I don't know what their final percentage was, but the last I looked, it was at 14.3. I mean, if you make that even 21, which, you know, is average, you'd win a lot more games. With all that talent, and the other thing is just how they manufacture losses in overtime. It seems like they don't have enough of a strategy about overtime. And I know it's like hockey on steroids, pinball, all this stuff when you're 3-on-3. It just depends on possession more than anything else. But you have to know, you know, when to do what you got to do and when not to on certain times out there. And it's not bad to retreat and wait. But, yeah, the power play with all the talent I've had to only get what it got. And to your point, too, Bill, a lot of the times the power play would go, you know, minute and a half and they wouldn't even have an opportunity to set up or get a shot. It's one thing if you put a lot of pressure on and some goaltender stands on his head. It's another thing if you just, you know, just let it get away because you haven't been able to sustain any sort of effort to get into the zone.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, as far as Sullivan goes, I think you have to keep him. I don't like the idea of changing coaches in the off season. I think a coaching change, especially in the NHL, the head coach is a mid season spark type of thing, right? So if they don't see improvement by Christmas, maybe then you look at Sullivan, but I don't think now is the time to make a move like that. I think you have to do whatever you can with the roster. I mean, guys like Raquel and Smith and Graves, I mean, these guys that are making $4, $5, $6 million are just, they're not doing their jobs. And unfortunately, you can't get rid of them because of the no-trade clauses and the deals that they signed. But, you know, if there isn't a spark, if you don't see something change by Christmas of next year, then you look at Sullivan, but I don't think you do it now.
To your point, Bill, another thing they need to do is rely more on their guys in their system. You know, we've seen some guys come up, and finally this year, Drew O'Connor got a lot more quality ice time, and I thought he deserved it last year, actually. you know, Mike Sullivan, back when they won those two championships in 16 and 17, he utilized a lot of those guys that he had coached. And maybe that's the thing. He had coached them. He knew them. He trusted them. When the guys come up here, you got to do more than just a couple of shifts here and there, you know, especially early in the season. This is where I would utilize a lot of those kind of players. I want to see what I got from them. And hopefully next year you're going to see more of them in the lineup. If it's possible given the fact that they have so many high-end salaries, I don't know. They're going to save on, you know, Carter. He's going to be gone. The cap is supposed to go up by $4.8 million. So that's like $7 million you have a little bit to play with. If they could figure out a way, and this is another thing, I don't know how you feel about this, but Tristan Jarry now is in a situation where, you know, it seems like they're going to bring him back based on what Dubas said, and it looks like Nedeljkovic may be the odd man out because he was on a one-year deal and he can go wherever he wants. But if they could free up some money there, that might help them out as well.
Yeah, Jarry is an enigma. He's frustrating. He's too inconsistent. He throws up a shutout and then gives up three bad goals. But the young guys, that's very frustrating with Sullivan. I mean, down the stretch, Pustinen, O'Connor, they played really well. But in the past, and Puljujärvi, I thought was a big body that he was fast and he could shoot. And he didn't play him. He sat him for down the stretch most of the games. But in the past, you had guys like Lafferty and McCann. And these guys are doing well.
Right.
They're fat. They hit. And he just didn't play them, you know. And it's just frustrating. I don't get it because, like you said, that's what made him successful with Rust. And even guys like Kunackel, who weren't top-end prospects, but they were fast and they forechecked and they went north-south, right?
Yeah, now Russ was one of them. Also Wilson at the time. The next year, Gensel. These are third-round picks.
Yeah.
You know, to play them. And especially with – if you're going to have Sidney Crosby and Malkin around, they can learn a lot, I think, with some of those guys. You can't just constantly go to the same old – Raquel, I thought, was a bad signing. And as much as I – you know, he's a nice guy and everything, I wouldn't have given him that kind of money at all. Riley Smith, I expected more from. A lot of the guys they brought in this offseason, I expected more from, and it just did not happen. So roster composition has something to do with this as well. But they want to get these veterans to play bottom six, you know, and sometimes the best answers are in your system. Let them play, trust them a little bit, give them playing time, and make a decision based on that. Bill, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I appreciate that from the South Fayette area. Now let's go out to Forest Hills. Rich has been waiting. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Hey, Bob. You and I are very like-minded about the Penguins. We're starting to part companies a little bit with the Pirates. But, you know, going back a year ago, Dubas really didn't have much of a choice. I mean, much like the Steelers, they had to play a certain kind of game based on – I mean, if they wanted to, quote, win it all, they had to play a certain kind of game based on the personnel they had. That just didn't have the opportunity to change the roster to the degree – I mean, you can't turn back the clock. If you remember – way back, the Minnesota North Stars met the Penguins in the playoffs. They had a sub-500 record, and, you know, they got there because their power play was clicking at like a 37% rate. I think Dubas recognized last year, you know, he's not going to come in here, and he's not going to have a shutdown team. He's not going to have a team that's going to be able to run and gun, but he potentially could have had a team with a power play that was clicking at 25-30%. That wins you a heck of a lot of games. And I think
no doubt,
short-sighted,
especially when they're five-on-five play. Rich, your five-on-five play was some of the best in the game. That was not a problem for them.
That's,
you would have thought that would have been, but
yeah,
it wasn't.
The strategy for them was to play it tight five-on-five, recognize that they have these quote-unquote five future Hall of Famers, and they're going to win. Short-sighted, not bringing in, you know, the number one power play coach in the world. And that's pretty much the only option he has this year with all the no-trade clauses. I mean, they've got to ramp up the power play. They're only a Stanley Cup contender as long as Sidney Crosby's here. Now, I'm not saying that's for the next 20 years, but I'm talking about for the next 3 or 4 years. And there are certain – just because you've got a Hall of Fame credential doesn't mean you should be playing in overtime or you should be playing on the power play. And – you know, I don't know if you remember my previous calls, but you know who I'm talking about here. I think Malkin's done a lot for this franchise, and he's certainly a great player, but he's not that player now. I'm not even sure I'd have him on my power play. I think there'd be other people. But the other point, before I go, I completely disagree with you on Paul Skeens. This guy, you know, a year ago, pitched once a week. He pitched six innings. He pitched on a Saturday. This is an absolute precious commodity. I think the Pirates, are definitely on the upswing. I think they've got a future. I'm not sure that this is the year. I wouldn't be going all in on this year. I think they've got bigger problems than getting Paul Skeens up here. I'm not at all sold on O'Neill Cruz. I've mentioned that before. I mention it again because when he flames out, I want to be able to say, I said this previously, and you can go listen to the tape. They could bring a second baseman and a shortstop up and a catcher from the minor leagues right now, which I think would make more important moves to this team. I'd give these guys three or four more games or maybe another week, and if they can't settle in and start to hit their way out of it. Jared Trujillo is another one. You know, O'Neill Cruz, you know, they're not getting any production at first base right now. The guys that were sort of cooled off.
My thing about Skeens is I understand their plan, and thank you for the call, Rich. What I think is that, you know, he's going to throw 70 pitches next time out, the next time he's out, whether it's here, whether it's there. And the Pirate Parrot's sitting, you're going to break that chair, you know that. But you can sit. You can go ahead. I'm not insulting your weight. It's just that your bottom is bigger than that seat right there. Cannot fit in. Now you're going to see what he does. Good to see you, Parrot. I'm just saying Skeens is one of those guys that he's going to pitch. Whatever the pitches are, there's going to be down there or up here. They're still going to go over 100 miles an hour. So you can monitor his pitch count up here. Anyway, Bill and Kiske. Bill, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but you're up next. Go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. I would not get rid of Sullivan. I would trade him. This year, you know what's going to happen in the playoffs? New York's maybe going to lose. Boston may be going to lose in the first round. One of these teams going to lose in the first round. Trade them. What do you think about
that?
Well,
it's you know, you don't see all that much in hockey that happening. I've seen it before in baseball. No, I'm going to stick with him.
Some of these teams are going to want to win, and he's got a record that you get him in the right team, he can win. He's got the wrong team here. He cannot win with this team. He's stubborn, and he will not change his
way. Well, I mean, his style is his style. And again, I'll defend that to the point where their 5-on-5 play, Bill, was very good this year. To me, that's an indication that the style they were playing was working 5-on-5. The problems became when they were on special teams. Not so much killing it off, but scoring goals. And this is in a tight window that they had to try to get into the playoffs, and the goal was just to get there. They finished 1 or 2 points behind, that's it. And why? Because their power play was anemic, given all the talent. That's a short view of what went wrong this year. But I blame that more on players than I do anyone else. Well, what I would have done, and thanks for the call, Bill, I would have put Jeff Carter. If Jeff Carter's on my roster, he's 6'4". He's a big load.
You've been saying that all along. He should have done that.
I've been saying it all year.
In December.
Yeah, I mean, I'd mix it up. That's a veteran guy. He's going to pay him over $3 million. If he has a role, it would be that. Put him in front. Let him get in, you know, nasty in front if he has to. He's a big body. He's good with his hands still. So take advantage of that. They never did it. It was the same old kind of same old. They made some changes here and there, but none of it worked.
He's really stubborn.
Well, I mean, when you have – thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. We're due for a break here. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. NHL playoffs do begin today. No Penguins for the second year in a row. That's got to hurt them financially as well because they need those games as part of, you know, making ends meet in the NHL. It's not one of these sports like the NFL where they got money flowing in from all aspects. They don't. So games are important. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. Thank you once again to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House, Shenderovich and Fishman, and driving in style with number one Cochran. Go one better, shop 24/7 at expressway with Cochran.com. Back with more right here from the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association. Opening day, 1,300 strong here. Kids ages 3 through 18 enjoying baseball and softball and trying to get their little careers going as well. We'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's a beautiful sunny day. It is windy a little bit as we're here at the PRBS. That's Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. There are kids everywhere from ages 3 to 18, and this is the first day of spring in many ways for many of them. So get out, enjoy the day. That's what they're doing here today in a great amount of people have showed up here today. And we had some shirts to give away, but they went really quickly. And it's too bad we didn't have more. Tom, go back. We need you to go back and get some. But people love to get out and play baseball and softball and learn the fundamentals of the game. We have some great coaches out here as well. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Islanders-Carolina today. The first two NHL series begin today. At 5, it's Islanders-Carolina. At 8, it's Toronto and Boston, which is always a good matchup in the first round for sure. Toronto's a team that has a lot of pressure on them. It's Kyle Dubas' old team. They haven't been able to go far in the playoffs. One of the reasons why he has a job here in Pittsburgh. But Auston Matthews just missed scoring 70 goals this year. He had, in that last game of the year, he had 11 shots on goal. He hit the crossbar once and the goalpost once. He would have had, should have had 70. Did not happen. Last guy to do that was Mario Lemieux. And he ended up with 69. But that's a high-powered team. Their goaltending is suspect a little bit. I like the Bruins in this series. Although Boston is an older team also. You know, they're like Tampa in many ways. They got a lot of talent. They play well together. But, man, last year they had a great regular season only to get eliminated quickly. What will happen this year around? We'll find out. And the other one is the Islanders in Carolina. Jake Guentzel has been on fire. I think people in Pittsburgh like Michael Bunting because he gives them a different dimension, and that was a nice pickup, plus a couple of 20-year-old kids who will wait and see on that one. But Dubas had to move on from Guentzel because Guentzel wanted more than they were willing to pay, and it's a simple part of the business. And he goes to Carolina, and he's been terrific with them, fit right in. I think the last I checked, he had like 26 points in 14 games. That's a loaded team, and if they're ever going to make a run, this would be the opportunity to do it with the top-end talent they have. But, again, it'll come down to goaltending. It always does. Florida-Tampa is an interesting series, the Battle of Florida. The Panthers have one of those teams that is always in the offensive zone. They got some great playmakers there. Tampa is a team predicated on power play. Kucherov went over 100 assists this year. They had two of them this year, he and McDavid both in the same year. Which is a rare thing. Only five players have ever done it. Gretzky, Lemieux, Orr, and now these two. But Tampa's a team that is, you know, Vasilevsky has been not as good as you'd want him to be throughout the course of this regular season, although watching him in the postseason, you know he can raise that level of game. Bobrovsky and the Panthers, I think I give the edge to them. I would expect them to move on. I think the Rangers will wipe out the Capitals. Nothing I see from the Capitals makes me think they are in this for the long term. They had a minus 37 goal differential this year. Just not – they got in somehow, some way. Ovechkin have 30 goals, but their team is not one that I really like. And quite frankly, that's the crime of it from the Penguins' point of view. They're better than the Capitals, and they would give New York Rangers a much better series than the Capitals will. So I'm looking for this one to end quickly. The Rangers in five. And then also tomorrow we got Colorado-Winnipeg, which is an interesting series because Winnipeg knows how to play against Colorado. They have had really good success against them in the regular season. Can they duplicate that in this season? Nathan MacKinnon most likely will be an MVP in this league, although there are a lot of candidates this year for that. And certainly Crosby should be considered based on what he did at his age for that team. Nashville and Vancouver. And Dallas and Vegas is another good matchup there. Dallas is a team I would expect to contend for a Stanley Cup this year. They got all the components necessary to do that. Will they? We'll find out. It's not necessarily a guarantee here, but it should be a fascinating postseason. Gets underway today. Let's go out to Ryan in New Jersey, who joins us at 412-928-9370. Ryan, you're on the air. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Bob. The Penguins learned the problem with having no margin for error is you have no margin for error. So that basically is the tale of the game. At the end of the day, the Caps beat Boston. They did not. So that's really what it comes down to. But this is really a lipstick on a pig kind of season. I don't like a lot of what I heard and saw over the last couple of days. I mean, they were worse than last year. This is one of the most underachieving teams, probably all the way back to the Mew Crosby year. What was that, 05, 06, the lockout, coming out of the lockout? I mean, what did they end up with, 88 points? That's pathetic in the loser point era. And one thing about Dubas, he really – the term country club kept popping into my head. You remember how he used to talk about the country club team? He took the bullets for everybody. It wasn't on the players, wasn't on the coaches. It was all Dubas because he's the one least likely to be fired. That, to me, screams he fits right in because this team, they had no sense of urgency from the opening drop, and it killed them. And you cannot make excuses for that on a veteran team. This isn't like, oh, we finished on a high note, we'll be better next year. This is not like the team that lost to Ottawa in 07. You know, these are all guys who damn well know better. So, I mean, everything that came out of – and Tristan Jarry, he had maybe the dumbest comments I've ever heard from a professional athlete after a season. Say, I got to be a lot better. And what did he say? I thought I had a pretty good year. I mean, moving forward, they have a couple of big blocks. Graves is one. Jarry is another. Maybe Raquel and or Smith. Like, you need to have – the first line is fine. You need to have Malkin with wingers that can put the puck into the net. That's what they didn't get until the end of the year, and their play turned arrow up when that happened. So, that's absolutely a must. They have to do that. But, you know, I just don't – they have a lot of blocks. If they're going to think Graves, they need Letang and Carlson to both have a stay-at-home guy and have a set partner. That's really how to fix that
right.
And let them freelance.
Right.
They
miss guys like Ryan Dumoulin in that regard, you know?
Right. If they think Graves is just going to be better in the second year, then their defense is going to be a disaster again. Like, they need to get him out of there. They need to get Jarry, send him to Siberia for a roll of hockey tape, whatever it is.
I think that's hard to do that, you know?
You know what? I would consider buying
him out, Ryan.
That's ridiculous. But I would consider buying him out.
Let me say this to your first comment. Your first comment is... they, you know, the slimmest of margins, and they knew that because they had it happen to them last year. Same exact situation.
Yeah.
They go down to the end and they have to beat Chicago, and they find themselves in that situation, which is terrible. They should have learned that every point is precious. They should know that when you have a lead on a team, you can't be playing high stakes poker
right.
here with them. You got to grind it out and just win games and take your points.
Stretch passes when you're up 2 goals in the third period. I mean, come on.
Right. It's insane.
I mean, that's
your DNA, but that's fine. But it's the right time and the right place. You cannot do it. It's just, and these, you're right. These guys know better. And yet they committed the same kind of stuff. And you could be proud of them all you want if you're a head coach, but I would be disappointed. I would say, look, and you're right about Tristan Jarry. I don't expect to hear stuff like that. I want to hear, I need to do better. They gave me a lot of money. I haven't done what I expect to do, but I will. I'm committed to making that happen next year. Instead of saying I had a pretty good year. I don't like those kind of comments after you're eliminated and your expectations are
terrible.
As high as they are. They need to be more grounded in how they approach this stuff.
Yeah, I'll just say one final comment. I'll let you go. Thanks for the time. The Caps were – I have a couple of friends who are good – Maryland area guys who are good Caps fans. I text them during the year. So the Caps are not a good team. They were in a partial rebuild. Half the team worked from Hershey, the chocolate team. You know, that's because that's what they had to do. They had two gigantic salary cap holes, Backstrom and Oshie, who did nothing, and they were like $16 million on the cap. So they had that to bear. I give them full credit. They were the least sucky. They were the least inconsistent. I mean, they were consistently mediocre the whole year. They made it. But what they did that game last, was it Sunday, against the Bruins, they played the 1996 Lou Lamoriello Devils team. They trapped, got one goal,
yep.
And then trapped. And any team can do that. They all can keep up with the puck enough to trap. But no, puck-moving defensemen, we want to play a speed game. I mean, this time warp crap needs to stop because they are not in that era. That is going on 10 years ago. So something needs to change.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. And I appreciate your last call because I said the same thing. You know, people looked at that game and said Boston mailed it, and no, they didn't. What happened was exactly what you said. Washington decided that they cannot beat Boston playing the style that maybe the Penguins would think they could beat Boston with. No. They decided once they got a lead, they were going to put quicksand on the ice, and that's exactly what they did. This had nothing to do with Boston getting 16 shots because they were mailing anything in. This had everything to do with the Capitals deciding this is how we're going to win a hockey game when we need to win a hockey game. Excellent point. I agree with it 100%. Tom in Oakmont is next up right here on the Bob Pompiani Show. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Bob. I got a prediction for the Steelers draft. The Steelers draft coming up?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a prediction. They'll take in the first round, they'll take anything but an offensive lineman because that's exactly what they need, and that's the last thing they'll take.
Well, no, I disagree with that. I think There are a lot of guys on this list who I like. Jackson, Powers, Johnson. I mean, they got to have to take an offensive. They need a lot of help there.
They got to, but don't get greedy. You watch. I'll call you next week. They'll get greedy. You watch.
Well, listen, there are a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. I know they need wide receiver help. They absolutely do.
They need that.
This is an unfinished product at this point. There could be
center. That's the last thing they'll. I predict they'll take. You watch. Thanks,
all right.
Bob.
Well, we'll see. It's happening this week, so we'll talk about it. Tom, don't be a stranger. Call back if you're right or wrong. 412-928-9370. We're due for a commercial break. We're live right here today at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. Lots of kids running around here, enjoying the day with their parents, coaches, trying to get the most out of them and set a good fundamental baseline for all of these kids ages 3 through 18. We're here all day. In the meantime, we want to take your calls at 412-928-9370. We'll do more of that when we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back as we round third, head home for this edition of the Bob Pompeiani Show. Coming up next is going to be Andrew Filippone, Danny Parkins, First and Pod. They're going to have a lot of NFL talk, I'm sure, as this is the week of the draft. And the Steelers will pick 20th and 51st. We're here today at the Pine Richland Baseball Softball Association opening day, 1,300 kids, as I said. I got to give a kudos to the parents involved in this because, you know, the parents are so important in the development of any kid, regardless of what sport or activity you're talking about. And they're here. They're dedicated. A lot of them are coaches. A lot of them just help with the grounds crew, whatever it takes to make sure your kid has the best experience growing. So I give a kudos to parents who do a good job. And honestly, that's the biggest problem facing our country. I think parents don't want to be parents, and those who do make a big difference in the lives of their kids. So take that role very seriously. It's very important. Bob Smyzik, a longtime columnist with the Post-Gazette, had an interesting take here on Twitter. Talking about the Pirates, a truly small sample size, but here are his biggest disappointments. Number one on his list is David Bednar. Number two is Henry Davis. Number three is Jack Sawinski. He also has an element called dishonorable mention, and it's Cruz and Rowdy Tellez. Biggest surprises, Jones, Falter, Perez, Williams. And that would be Alika Williams. I would agree with Jared Jones. That's a revelation. Hopefully that continues. Bailey Falter took a lot of abuse early on, but he has been one of our more consistent pitchers. And, of course, when you're talking about Perez, who's been a free agent, he's a veteran. He knows how to play. David Bednar has been a disappointment, but I think things will turn for him. You better hope they do for Davis and Sawinski, because those are the guys who everything is, you know, predicated upon. They have to get that kind of success from those guys. Right now, Davis is struggling mightily at the plate. He needs to get better. Cruz, same thing. Swinging at pitches maybe he shouldn't, taking ones he should try to unleash his swing on, because he can hit the ball a long distance. Jack Sawinski's hit or miss. When he hits it big, and there's home runs to be had. But you got to do better. Their on-base percentage is not good. It has to get better moving forward here, because these are the kinds of things that, you know, put a heavy toll on pitchers. If you don't get a lot of offense, it's very difficult to pitch. If you get three or four runs early, especially in the game, there's some relief involved with some of these guys who can just rely on their pitches and not have to be so perfect or think they have to be perfect. And that is always going to be a problem with teams that don't score a lot of runs, no matter who it may be. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. As I said, this is the beginning of not just NHL playoffs, but also NBA playoffs. A lot of good ones. I'm going to give you a little my take on what I expect today. Cleveland, Orlando. Orlando will give Cleveland everything they can handle in this series. I like Cleveland as a team. They should win. I'm going to go Magic. I think the Magic are going to pull an upset in this one. Phoenix and Minnesota. Now, the Suns have a lot of high-end talent. You know, when you look at their team, beginning with Devin Booker and Durant, they brought in Bradley Beal. They have guys who should be able to do well in this kind of situation. But Minnesota, Anthony Edwards is a different kind of player, and they have Karl Anthony Towns. They have a lot of people there that can make that a very interesting series. But I do think the expertise, the experience of Phoenix will come through for them. They're going to win this series, and that would also be an upset. Philadelphia and the New York Knicks. Philadelphia is playing with Joel Embiid. He has become a guy who can hit from the outside, do everything inside. He's MVP level when he's healthy. The Knicks do not have Julius Randle. He's one of their best players, but they do have Jalen Brunson. I'm going to go Knicks in this. I think the Knicks have a deep enough team. Tom Thibodeau knows what he's doing with that team. I like the Knicks in it. Lakers and Nuggets also play today. That's an 8:30 start time. This is a very intriguing series. Nuggets are heavy favorites. The Lakers, though, just like Phoenix, has some high-end talent on it, and you wonder what that would mean in a best of seven. They're playing well at the end of the season. James and, you know, guys like Anthony Davis. And don't underestimate Austin Reeves and what he's meant for this team. I think that's going to be a longer series, but I do expect Denver to survive in advance. But that's what you got to do in this time of the year. Win four out of seven, and you move on to the next round. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Again, I want to thank the people up here, Nick and the guys I've met from the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association, who made our stay here very nice despite all the wind. Got to give it out for Matt over here. He's brought in his tool time. This is not part of the job description. Tom and Matthew here trying to figure out our tent blew over, and now it's completely in shambles. He went home. Craig Riley, if you're listening, he deserves a bonus for this. He drove home, got a whole bunch of Craftsman tools, and now he's trying to figure out how to get this thing together and tear it down. I will be of no help whatsoever because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to this kind of stuff. My wife will attest to that. She's the best handyman in our family, and I just refuse to do it. So, man, I can't help you. Good luck. I hope you figure it out. But, Craig Riley, take care of this man. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at sunchevy.com. Today, windy. We will attest to that. High of 56. Our complete set has crashed because of it. Tonight, partly cloudy. Some couple of potential showers, depending on where you are, and there's a potential for frost as well in some areas. Low of 36. Tomorrow, sunny, just like today. Windy, high of 52 degrees. And a thank you once again to our sponsors at PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. Ireland Contracting, make sure you check them out if you need a new roof. They will take care of you there as well. Number one Cochrane, ride in style and go on better with Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shendorovich and Fishu. Thank you, Fishman. Thank you all for your support of our program. We do appreciate that. And for all who called, thank you for getting through. We do it every Saturday. Coming up next is Andrew Filippone, Danny Parkins with First and Pod. Our thanks to Matthew, Tom on site, as well as Nathan Haluschak, Uri. And now it is Mr. Joel Nelson who will be there the rest of the way. He'll have an update, and then you'll hear that from Pony and Parkins right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Have a great day.